But there's some messages here. One particular message that I want you to get that God has been really dealing with me on. And I'll be honest with you. I told God, this is too tough. It's too difficult for me to preach. Find something easier. And he let me have the flu and a strep throat. And I said, okay, God, whatever, you know, you want. And I'll do it. But I've been reading this for some time. And it's important to me because I think it says a lot in the life of our church. For individuals just like you that are here tonight, I think it says an awful lot. In John chapter 17, we're going to be looking at verses 6 through 12. It's in your notes. John 17, 6 through 12. In John 17, Jesus prays three prayers. There are three prayers there. He prays for himself in the first prayer, and that's only like five verses. And then the next prayer starts in verse 6, and that's where we're gonna spend all our time tonight. And in that prayer, he prays for the disciples. And then the last prayer, he prays for the church of believers, or those who would come to have faith in Christ. He prays for them. But before we go there, I want to remind you of something that's in Matthew 28:19. And I don't have it on the screen for you, but in 28:19, before going, ascending to the Father, Jesus said this. He said, therefore now go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And I want to use just these words that we find in John's Gospel in chapter 17 to explore where we might be in that great commandment. Because God has convicted me as to where I'm supposed to be in this, and am I as fervent about this as I should be? And I have done an awful lot of thinking to that end. You know what's really strange is there are a lot of people in the church that have been church members for years and years and years and have no idea what this is talking about. They don't know. And it's sad because that's our purpose. And it's just totally sad that we could come to church and be a part of a church of Jesus Christ and not know what he said for us to do. But that's unfortunately, if you look at what the church has become accustomed to, and I'll be honest, I don't know all the answers to how we got where we are, but we were talking about this in Sunday school. We pretty much go to church. Somebody invites us to church. The process usually starts like that, doesn't it? And they're usually a friend or somebody that we can relate to, right? Or if they're not a friend or somebody we don't like, we ain't going to church with them, are we? No. So if you go, they're probably going to be a friend or somebody that you look up to or something of that nature. And you end up going to church and you join a church and you go to church Sundays, Wednesdays, whenever you can, and this kind of thing. And now you're in church, and now someone's going to teach me the word. Someone's going to explore that with me, and I'm in church. That was what I was supposed to do. Hopefully, you get saved in that process because the word will save you if you hear it enough. If you have it put in your heart enough, the word's going to save you. That's what the word does. It's going to first convict you, and then it's going to tell you who you are, and then it's going to save you. So hopefully you've been in church long enough for those things to happen. But that's just the beginning, folks. That's just the beginning. Too many times what we do as Christians is we let that be the end. You know, I've come to church and I got saved. God spoke to me and I got saved. And now, well, what's happening now in your life? Well, I'm going to church. And we keep going back to that. I'm going to church. And that's lovely. That's where you should be. That certainly is where you should be. But I don't know if we've ever had the idea about what we're supposed to do that Jesus tells the disciples here in the prayer for the disciples and no one else. He took a plan to win the lost in the world. And he actually took 11 people. There was one replaced. You know, Judas Iscariot was replaced. But he took these 12 or 11, and he tells them what the plan is. It's right to set this up. It's right before it's right before his ascension. So he's very concerned that the plan's going to be put into motion by the disciples. And do you truly understand the plan? And that's what these words we're going to read in just a little bit are. Now, I was fortunate because I got to see this show and tell. What I'm talking about is show. And I've got to see people show their Christianity and it be on display. I got to see that early in my Christian walk. The pastor that I was saved under was the first pastor. I told y'all this before, I had a bad idea. Pastors wear weird looking clothes and comb their hair four different sides, you know, the wrong way you're supposed to comb it. You know, I don't know what that is now. If you get old and lose it, you don't know. but anyway, I had a bad, in my mind, my mental picture of a pastor and what I thought of him wasn't very much. And I started going to church with Sharon because I loved her and I told her that's what I'd do. And even though I didn't want to go, had no part in it, didn't want to have any part in it. And this pastor came to the church, and I had always seen older pastors. You know what I'm saying? And this guy was young. He was younger. And I watched him. I listened to him preach. And as he preached, I really listened. I didn't just turn it off and go here and go there. I listened to him. And I thought, I said, this guy, his life, he mesmerizes me. Let me ask you this. How many, show of hands, how many of you had somebody help lead you to Christ? Almost everybody in here, isn't it? That must be how it's done. So someone, you saw something in, and that's what I saw in this guy. I saw in him this love for people that I'd never seen before in my life. I'd never, ever seen it. Especially, now I knew about love, and I knew how to love people and stuff like that, but I never was taught to love people that didn't care about me. I never was taught to just love people that just because they were there, because they were people. This guy did. I saw in him doing that. Now I listened to his sermons, and his sermons were good. And I'd love to tell you the sermons are what got me. That wasn't what it was. It wasn't the tale, it was the show. It's what I saw in him. And, you know, scripture from cover to cover, when it talks about disciple making, that's the center of our purpose for being on this earth. And I watched this pastor. I watched what he did. I have some terrific memories drawn from my association with him. You're talking about a 26, 27-year-old person who didn't know Jesus Christ from the guy next door. I didn't know anything about the Bible. I had never really read the Bible. I hadn't had it read to me. So I was about as ignorant of scripture as you could be. And I would get with this guy, and I was just absolutely mesmerized because I could see the way he treated other people, and it was genuine. There wasn't anything fake about this guy. It was... some of you guys know who I'm talking about. Malin Falcons is who I'm talking about. If you know him, you know that's how he was. It still is. But I was just taken back by it. I thought, I've never seen a pastor like this. Never. And I told him one time, I said, I've had ideas about preachers and pastors and things like that, not knowing that I'd ever want to be one. I told him, I said, they're just weird. You know, I just can't relate to him, and I'm just going to go up front and tell you that now. And he would just grin and tell me stuff deeper and deeper. We had this ministry. One thing that I really remembered, and I'll move on with this, but we had this ministry to the colleges. When we'd lose, the colleges would start back in the fall. We'd lose, you know, a few students to Auburn and Alabama and different ones. Different colleges like that. Mississippi State, I think we went there a time or two, and I forget the other places that we went. But we would take these trips. He and I would go together in a van, the church van, and we would ride to, say, Alabama or Auburn. We couldn't find many Christians in Alabama, but... Sorry. Gosh, I'm sorry. As soon as I said that, I thought, Lord said, Mike, you shouldn't have said that. I'm joking, but we would go to Alabama or Auburn, sure enough, and we would tell the young people from our church that we were coming. We'd take them out and buy them pizza, and we'd have a word of prayer with them, you know, spend about 30, 45 minutes with them. But it was the greatest thing in the world. The kids loved it. You know, they got to see somebody from home, and we ministered to them just a little bit. I say minister. I didn't know the first thing about ministering to anybody. I just went along with him, and I watched him. And on the way back, a lot of nights, in the middle of the night, he and I would be coming back, and I let him drive, and I'd have my Bible, and I'd say, hey, what about this right here? And then I'd tell him what I thought it said, you know. And I never forget, he'd look at me a lot of days and he'd say, you know, that right there will preach. He said, that'll preach right there. And then sometimes he would preach it. But I had the most wonderful time watching God's love pour out of a person and be where other people could see it. And that's exactly what Jesus is telling the disciples right here. I want to show you in Scripture, kind of setting this up. Jesus is about to go to the Father now, and he's making every effort he can to make sure the disciples understand about what their job is to do. Look what it says with me in your notes. It says in chapter 17, verse 6, I have manifested your name to the men you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me. They have kept your word, and now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. Remember, he's praying to the Father here now. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. And while I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept. And none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. That son of perdition is a reference to Judas Iscariot there. Now, in this day and time, the name of a person often reveals the character of the person. So Jesus is telling them by name, you know, Father, I have given them your name. I've told them who you are and what our relationship is, so to speak. So he's saying to the disciples that, first of all, if we're going to carry out this plan and do what God has put on earth to do, He's telling them, how do we show the word to the people God has given us? How do we do it? He's taking 12 people and putting them into a plan, or 11 as it goes, okay? And Jesus is telling them, let's first of all do this. You've given me your name. I've given them your name. So your name is in them. So your name is character. We display first, in the first dot there, we display his character to them. That's what we're supposed to do. You know, people think, well, you know, how in the world do we do that, Mike? You know, I live the best I can. I behave the best I can. I do what I'm supposed to. We're supposed to display the character of God to the world. Where else are they going to see him? And in doing that, you remember Moses said this to God when God told him what his mission was going to be and what he was going to do. He said, who should I tell them sent me? And God said, you tell them I am sent you. That's all you need to say. I am sent me. Don't look at any of these. You don't have to look these up. And I just want to share some scripture with you that talks about the identification of God. In John 6:35, Jesus said, I am the bread of life to those that were hungry. John 8:12, he said to the blind, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. I am. That's my character. John chapter 10, Jesus said to the herding, I am the good shepherd that cares for his people. John 11:25, he says to Lazarus, I am the resurrection and the life. I am. That's in my character. John 14, the disciples wondering, you know, this is really good because Jesus told them, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and where I go, you know, you can't go now, but one day you'll be there. And he's telling them all that. And the disciples are looking around. You can imagine the confusion looking around on their face at each other. And of course, Thomas said, you know, Lord, how in the world can we know where you're going when you're not going to tell us, and we ain't never been there? How's that going to happen? Jesus said, I am the way, and I'm the truth, and I'm the life. That's all you need to know. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I am. That's my character. Now, Jesus spent 3.5 years with these people so that they'd learn and watch his character up close and personal. Probably more up close and personal than any of you or myself will have a chance to witness or to show God to other people. Because Jesus walked with them every day. He talked with them every day. He ate meals with them. And he slept where they slept. He spent up close and personal time with him. They got to watch how he reacted in every situation. Very similar to what I was telling you about the pastor that I was saved under. I got to watch him react in a lot of different situations that weren't in church and they weren't a part of a sermon. But I got to watch his life. And I had never seen anyone's life where love was the biggest thing in their life. Where love was the center thing in their life. And I could tie that into what Jesus was in Scripture. And eventually God just drew me to this man's office. And I'm telling you, I didn't go there to be saved. I had no idea why I was going. I wanted to be around him. I could tell you that. I wanted to be around him all the time. I did. And I went to his office and we talked. And he knew more about me than I knew about myself. And, you know, I got on my knees and accepted the Jesus Christ that I saw in him. My question to you is, what's the Jesus Christ that somebody's going to see in you? He stayed up close and personal with his disciples for 3.5 years. And he was preparing to leave, and he wanted to be up close and personal with them again. Do you realize that Jesus spent more time with his disciples than he did with everybody else in the world combined? Because of the plan of God was set up this way. Now Jesus is leaving here. The disciples hear he's leaving, and you know, I can imagine the panic that ensued. And what about us in that? You know, he's not walking with us. I mean, he's not physically where we can see him, even though he's with us. So that's where you and I now come in to this picture. The disciples have started out with the other people seeing God and his word in them. And as they see God and his word in them, they are convicted. They are saved. And then others see. And it's an exponential thing. If you know a little bit about mathematics, you know what I'm talking about. It's exponential. It just continues to spread and continues to spread. And nowhere in there did I see, well, this one doesn't have to do it. I never saw that. We display his character to them, and then we are all his representatives. Every one of us is a representative of Christ. You know, and it wouldn't do us any good to pull in our wallet and pull out a business card and say, here, I represent Christ. You know, that might work for you. I don't know. But, you know, people hand me a business card. I don't even know what their name is 5 seconds after they gave it to me. But our lives are different than that. Our lives are supposed to display the Christ in us so that people can see it all the time. Because that's what's going to do it. It's not going to just be sharing the word. You know, you can share the word of God with people. We get it shared with us every week. And it's terrific. And it's wonderful. It edifies us. And it keeps, but that's not the only way. That's not the only way. Because you need to show instructions to people. And if we don't do it, folks, where are they going to get Christ from? Are they going to get it from television? I don't think so. DVDs? Are they going to get it from the political arena? God, I hope not. Corporate America? Financial America, where are they going to get it from? It's us. And here's what we want to do. We want to say that, you know, I'm not far along enough in my walk with God, Mike, to consider that kind of thing. You know, it's going to be tough for somebody to see Christ in me because, you know, I'm just not far along. And I know that certain Christians are further along than others. Maybe they've studied more. Maybe they're educated more in Scripture. Maybe they've done this or done that. And I understand that. I do. But I want you to see, and what we're going to show you, I'm going to show you in just a second here, is not only are we all his representatives, but he gives us all his resources. We have every resource that he had. So we can no longer shirk our responsibility in this, folks. And that's what we've been doing for a long time. I know I've done it. And I'm not browbeating you if you have. Most all of us have. But you know what? It's time for us to get back. It's time for us to get back in the business of what God put us on this earth to do. That's to represent his son, Jesus Christ. And that's to act in a way and live our lives in a manner that would pursue other people to be Christian so that they'd come to a saving knowledge of Christ. Then verse 14, he says this. He said, I have given them your word. So the resources you're going to need to live this life for Christ, he said, I've given them your word. Lord, I've told them your word. They've got that. Okay? We've got that. We do. We've got a greater access to the Word of God than anybody in history. We do. I mean, I can pull up on my cell phone and have it in just, you know, seconds. That's amazing. But we've got it better than anybody else did in history. We have all his resources. Look at I want you to look quickly at verse 10 and 11 back up there. And it said, and all mine are yours, yours are mine, and I'm glorified in them. Jesus said, all these 12 here, they're mine, they're yours. I'm glorified in what they're going to do. Did you realize that? That God's going to be glorified in what you're going to do and what your life looks like? Verse 22, he said, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them. Jesus was glorified by what these 12 didn't. Folks, don't think for a minute these 12, because they were the disciples, had something special on the ball, or they had some innate ability or something that we never have or could see. That's not true. These people were the far-fetched, most far-fetched people in the world that you'd think that God, Jesus would call. And I think that's why he called them that way, because he wanted us to see, you don't need any special talent to do this. I want to be alive, and I want to be seen in your life. Verse 26, he declared to them, your name, and I will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. Are we lacking anything, folks? We're not lacking a single thing. Everything they had, we have. He's given it to us. So we can't use that as a crutch. They're about to go through a lot of difficulty. John 15:11 says this, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. We've got the joy of the Lord in us to do it. Chapter 16, verse 33 said, I have told these things that you might have peace. We've got the peace of God in order to be able to do this. All of these things he's given us to enable us to accomplish his purpose, not to sit in a church service every Sunday. And that's wonderful, but that's not what it's about. It's about your world. I don't know what your world looks like. It looks probably a lot different than my world looks like. But it's for that purpose that we're here. Chapter 14, verse 16 says this, I will ask the Father to give you another counselor, and he'll be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because they neither know him or see him, but you know him, for he lives with you, and he'll be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you'll see me. Because I live, you also live. On that day, I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. He said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to come and live inside you. And folks, I pray every day, God, don't let people see me. Let them see the Spirit that lives in me. Because I can't mess up that way. I can mess it up real bad if it's just me. But I pray, God, let them see the Spirit that's in me. So that you, so Lord, you will be glorified. This Holy Spirit that lives in us. And then he says in verse 12, and I love this because this is taken totally out of context by many people. He said, you may ask for anything in my name, and I'll do it. Now, what most people, they take that out by itself, and they make him a heavenly genie. You know, poof, I want this, I want that. It's not what he said. In the context of what he was saying is, I'm going to equip you to do the job I've given you to do. And in that effort, in that means where you are going to represent me in this world, and you're going to show me to the world through you, he said, you ask me anything, and I'll give it to you. If that purpose is what's in mind, what you've got in mind, and you just ask me, and I'll give it to you. Matthew 28 said, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Now that authority has been given to you. So I think we've got everything, all his resources. And the next thing I put, he said, the world longs to see a demonstration of Christ that follows our explanation of Christ. Excuse me. I was thinking about that particular statement a couple of days ago because I had studied it and I had thought about that and I didn't know if I was going to put it in the outline or not. But that's, I saw my grandson, he's five right now, he'll be six in June. He loves Legos. Y'all know what Legos are? He calls them Wegos. Big Daddy got me some Wegos. And he loves heavy equipment, heavy machinery, and that kind of thing. So I got him this little box of Wegos that made a bobcat, what amounts to a bobcat, in any way, a piece of construction equipment for you ladies that don't know what I'm talking about. But it's he was over there and I was watching him put it together. He loves it. He'll get over on the table by himself and he'll put all his pieces right here. But I watched what he was doing. He didn't just arbitrarily do it. He gets those instructions out of that box and he puts them right here where he can see them in one place. And he looks over at this and he looks and finds the piece he's wanting to put it in. And he puts the piece together and he looks through the instructions and he puts it together. You know, wouldn't it be nice, instead of just telling people how much we love Jesus Christ, to let them look at us and get an example of it. Let them see it. You know? We shouldn't be afraid of that. We try to be so humble sometimes about our misgivings and all that. We should stand firm and say, Christ lives in me. He's the Christ. If he saved me, he can save you. He can save anybody. But that's what we should do. It's not a pen and paper type class. It's not where you just sit down and somebody says, okay, I'll tell you what, take notes. This is how God is. He's this, he's this, he's this, and you'll be in there taking notes just like I used to in Miss McSwain's history class. I'd take notes, and I'm sorry, Miss McSwain, I'm sorry. So I'm just being honest, I'm up here, you know. We give ourselves to his plan, folks, we'll see disciple-making take place. We'll see it happening. And the question I want to ask you is, are we going to step up and show the character of God to the world? Don't be deceived. Jesus Christ is irresistible. People long to see him. They're looking somewhere to see him. They want to see him in you, if possible. They want to see him in anybody. You know why? Because they need him desperately. They need him just like you needed him and just like I needed him before I was ever saved. I need to know about him. And they're looking for him. And they're looking to you to show it to him. Now, I put a few things there, and we're going to go quickly through there. We live for His glory through them. We live for His glory through them. Every time that someone sees Christ in us and they become one of His, He is glorified. He receives the glory for it, not us. I don't deserve any glory. He's the only one that does. He and the Father. So He's glorified in that. You know, He said, excuse me, in verse 9, He said, I don't pray for the world. What? I don't pray for the world. John 3:16 said, God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in Him will have eternal life. You know, you don't pray for the world. He said, right here, I'm not praying for the world. I'm praying for the plan. I'm praying for you disciples, because I know how this is supposed to fold out. Now, I'm going to tell you, maybe, you know, we kind of get the idea that this ought to happen in a one-hour class, and we call it Sunday school or small group or whatever we want to call it. And that's you know, let me just tell you that. I just don't believe that's the way it's supposed to be, folks. It's a lifetime. They spent 3.5 years watching Him day and night. It's a lifetime. It's a lot slower process than what we want to make it, I think, sometimes. We try to put it in a simple little class, and I think we're not doing justice at all to it for trying to do that. We're trying to put on an assembly line what Jesus did in 3.5 years. We live for His glory through them. Number one there, I said, set your focus on them. This is what I noticed about Malin Felkins, is this. His focus was not on Malin. It was not even on his family. He loved his family, and he presented himself well, but his focus was on always the next person he could impact for Christ. That astonished me. I'd never seen anybody do like that. You know, I'd never seen anybody truly do that, and he did. So you're going to have to set your focus on other people in order to be successful doing this. Because if you don't love other people and you don't want to see them saved, you don't want to be a part of the plan of God, then they're not going to see it. That's got to be something that you focus on. Number two, the same, see the world through them. Let that be what you're doing. Not your job, not school, not this, not that. Let the world be your focus. We're going to save the world. You say, well, I can't save the whole world, Mike. You can help get saved. You're part of it. Hey, Mike, you realize that there's somebody in this world. I truly believe this, that we're uniquely made, and there's somebody in this world that you were made for. You were made to live your life in front of somebody so that they might be saved. I don't know who that person is for you. It may be more than one. But you're uniquely made for that purpose. You know, we're not alike. And I think that's a big reason why. Next one, number three, stake your life on them. And I wasn't going to put the word stake in there. I thought that's just a little bit over the top, too much. But you know what? I got thinking about that. That is my life. What else is there? Let me show you, I love my family. Oh, I do. I'm not going to be with them forever. One of these days, I'm going to go and account myself to Jesus Christ. I've got to account to Him for how I followed this plan. My life is this. So I stake my life on this. I stake my life. In order to be successful, you've got to give it your all. You've got to give it your entire life and do that. Now, I put three things at the very end there for you that I want you to see. Who can I show the word to? Who can I be the one to show the word to? I want you to think just a moment as you sit there tonight. I guarantee you, most of you, I believe, already have somebody in mind. Somebody that's already been on your mind. I'm not talking about just, you know, setting them down and witnessing for Christ, but I'm talking about being around them, letting them see the Christ in you. That's much more effective. That's much more effective. So who can I show the word to? Second, how can I show them the word? What's the best way for me to do that? I'm going to tell you, I have personally witnessed to a lot of people, and I thought I did it in an effective manner. Many of them were not saved by my verbal witness. They were not. So there's more to it than just that. So what I've got to do, if that's not effective, I've got to live that life inside me. I've got to let the Holy Spirit shine from within me so that I can be a part of the plan and win the life. Last thing, what do I need to sacrifice in order to show them the word? It always takes a sacrifice, folks. It always carries a sacrifice. You've got to sacrifice something in this world if you're going to serve Jesus Christ. And if you don't, was it intentional? We've got too much of mistakenly just I displayed Christ and didn't even mean to. You know, it's time for us to mean to. It's time for us to be serious about it. I hope that helped you. It was something that God put on my heart, and I dearly hope it helped you. Let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your word and how precious it is. Lord, I truly don't understand all your ways and whys and why fors and all that. Lord, I don't understand all that. I do understand your voice. And Lord, I do understand your love for me and your grace and your mercy for these that are gathered. Lord, I thank you so much for them. And Lord, I ask you to put a blessing, just bless every life that's sitting here tonight. Bless your word in us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to study those words that we just looked at and understand that we're all a part of the plan. Lord, help us to go out into the world tomorrow and say, I'm a representative of Christ. He lives in me. And because he lives in me, I can be an effective witness for Christ. And I can bring glory to the Father. What I do might bring glory to the Father. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity and pray your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.